Tuesday, December 8th, and this is Geek Nights. Tonight, we talk about our freshman year in college.
Let's do this.
So, today was another awesomely boring day.
God, it was just like yesterday where I had nothing to do at work, only I didn't go to the comic book store after work, and I was just... God.
Yeah, I stayed at work late to diagnose a silly problem with a Switch that I probably shouldn't have had to stay late to diagnose.
Wow.
It was awesome.
I was sitting there doing nothing, and I really don't want to go tomorrow because I'm not going to do anything tomorrow.
Well, we might not have to go do anything tomorrow. It looks like it's going to snow a lot.
If it snows enough, I'm just going to be like, fuck it, and I'll stay home and I'll do something cool.
And maybe I'll just call in sick. I need a day off. I'm actually really dragging from not sleeping enough the last 2 weeks.
Oh, man. You know, I can't sleep on the trains so easily because I have a thing where I need to lay down.
That's kind of weird.
But I was so tired on the way home on the train. I was playing Mario and Luigi, and, like, my eyes, I couldn't hold them open while I was playing a DS game.
Like, why don't you get one of those, like, neck pillows that goes around your neck?
Because they look silly.
They work?
Yeah, I might get one, actually. I just have to find one that I think is good.
So, Neopets is Scientology.
Didn't see that coming.
Yeah. I was sitting at work today, and Scott sent me a link to this article, and it's about Neopets. And he's like, Neopets are Scientology. So I start reading the article, and it just talks about Neopets. And then on the second page, there's just one sentence. And the sentence pretty much says, the CEO of Neopets, Doug Doring, is a super, 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 super Scientologist, and he runs the company on the principles of Scientology.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people who are just, oh, they're a Scientologist. Like, I think the voice of Bart Simpson is a Scientologist, right?
Isaac Hayes, supposedly.
Yeah, Isaac Hayes is a Scientologist. But, you know, while that makes you an idiot, it doesn't necessarily mean the work you do is bad. So it doesn't really reflect on Neopets. But this guy runs the company with the teachings of L. Ron Hubbard.
Quote here, Hubbard's companies follow a system of departmental organization called the Org Board, which he claimed was a refinement of one used by an old galactic civilization that lasted 80 trillion years.
Imagine if you were the CEO of a company and you said, I think we should reorganize the company this way because aliens from an ancient time did it this way.
Yeah.
All right.
What's even more interesting is that the primary aspect of this org method of running a company involves having a corrections division that disciplines other divisions of the company. And it says no more than that.
You know, some companies kind of need that. But at the same time, yeah.
So, yeah, this may sound silly or like we're making it up, but no. Scientology really is there, like,
yep.
Hardcore behind the scenes at Neopets.
Yep, there was another guy who worked at Neopets as, like, an artist for a short time.
He got the fuck out of there.
Yeah, he was smart, and he didn't Scientology, but he pointed out that, yeah, there's, you know, that the Scientology doesn't get into the Neopets. So if you're using Neopets, you know, I would encourage you to stop because you're supporting the Scientologists. But at the same time, Neopets isn't going to turn you into a Scientologist anytime soon.
Yeah.
Which is at least, okay, that's good they didn't do that. Because if Neopets was a Scientology recruitment tool, well, you know, we just have a freaking cow. But
yeah, not like a Narcanon.
Yeah. But basically, he worked there and he noticed that everyone above a certain level of management basically had to join Scientology. And be hardcore.
And I'm culty. Sure most of you know our opinions on Scientology. And I don't, we're not, maybe.
It's not an opinion.
Well, no, I'm talking about our specific opinions on Scientology. But there's also some facts, and I'm sure you guys know most of them. But just very quickly, Scientologists believe in an alien named Xenu who dropped atomic bombs on Earth billions of years ago.
Yeah, and they think these little magic guys who stick to you and you have to get
called body
them off.
Thetans.
And you have to get them off of you.
Yeah, they're like all inside you.
Imagine if some guy wrote a pulp sci-fi story and you believed it was the history of the world. That's what Scientology is.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's not even like a joke. We're just dead serious. This is really a cult that believes that. And if you join them, they take all your money.
Pretty much. They take it all bit by bit, not all at once.
Yep. That's all there is to it.
Though apparently you get superpowers if you become a Scientologist and go all the way.
Or you believe you have superpowers.
Yeah. Tom Cruise, yeah.
Yeah, I don't see you saving people's lives, Superman. All right? So, shove it.
Actually, the weirdest thing is it seems like a lot of people have pointed out that a lot of Scientologists, despite all their magic powers and disdaining, you know, things that can harm the body, a lot of them are smokers.
Really?
There's just apparently there's clouds and clouds of them standing outside the Scientology building in New York City smoking every day.
Hmm.
Just a little tidbit I picked up.
Oh, they have a building?
Yeah, they have a building.
Dude, we should go and, like...
We can't get in.
We could do stuff in front of it.
What, just stand there?
We can make a wall of non-culties.
Why don't we just continue to do what we've been doing, which is heckle and harass them whenever they're set up in the subways trying to convert people.
Because that won't draw as much ire.
It's fun, though. I mean, every time we pass these guys in the subway, we just stop and walk over and start telling people, you know this is a cult, right? These guys are just trying to get you to join their crazy cult that believes in aliens.
Because that's what they are trying to do.
And they really don't know how to deal with that. One time, they threatened to call the police on us, and we were like, all right, fine, call a police officer and explain to him what you just said to us.
Yeah. It would have been hilarious if a cop came. I would have been like, these guys are cultists. All I'm doing is telling people in the area, using freedom of speech, that they are cultists. And they're calling the police saying we're harassing them. Here is proof that they're cultists. And the only way that wouldn't work is if the cop was a Scientologist.
Yeah.
That would have not worked.
Oh, and they like to sue people, so maybe we'll get sued after this, but that's
awesome.
Fine. I would love to get sued by Scientology.
Yeah, way to give me some publicity and such. That would rock. All right.
So remember that story we did not long ago about the guy who tried to buy a camera and the company was evil and they tried to screw him?
Yep. Well, someone else told that guy a story about a similar experience at another place that's also in Brooklyn, named Wawa Digital. And basically, he had the same story. He wanted to buy a camera. He bought it on, you know, it was a good price. He called up. They tried to sell him all these accessories. He says, and they say, you know, and he says, fine, I want to cancel. I'm canceling my order. The guy's like, are you really going to do that and pay the restocking fee? He's like, I'm not paying any restocking fee because there wasn't any order. And this guy got really pissed off. I guess they have big commissions, or I don't know why these salesmen keep getting pissed off that their scam business model doesn't work on smart people. But he got really pissed off, and he left the guy a voicemail saying he was going to break his neck.
Yeah, and fortunately, we have the actual voicemail here.
Yep.
So let's roll that sucker.
8627-7192. Received at 3:22 p.m.
You better not pick up, bitch. I'm gonna come down there and break your goddamn neck. You hear me, right? Kid, you better hear me, bitch. Do you hear me, bitch? Yes, you better believe it. You're in a big trouble, my friend.
To erase, press...
Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be no legal repercussions of that voicemail.
Yeah,
you know, threatening physical harm.
I don't think anything else needs to be said after hearing that.
Yeah, so I guess the moral is don't buy cameras that seem like they're too good a deal to be true from shady vendors in New York City.
Yeah, basically don't buy a camera from any small place in New York City. Buy your cameras from, like, I don't know, the company that makes them, or a real store.
Or even Best Buy. I mean, Best Buy is evil in a lot of ways, but they don't directly steal from you.
Yep.
They kind of like indirectly steal, which is, I guess, better.
I guess. All right.
So also, the MPAA.
Oh, this story. Okay, yeah. So the someone made a movie called This Film Is Not Yet Rated.
It's about the MPAA and how they rate films.
And it's about the impact of the film rating system on American culture.
And it paints the MPAA in a really bad light.
Of course, because, well, that's the truth. So any movie about the truth is going to make the MPAA look bad.
So what did the MPAA rate it?
The MPAA gave a movie about movie ratings a rating of NC-17.
Huh.
Now, there is the, of course, the conspiracy theory that says, oh, they did that to keep it out of theaters and to keep it out of Blockbuster so no one will see it and blah, 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 blah.
That's
which
a
is
good
probably,
conspiracy. It made it through my tinfoil hat.
It's probably partially true, if not mostly true. But also, the movie's got some graphical sexual content in it. So, yeah.
But apparently, they point out a lot of interesting things. Like, it seems that the MPAA is much harsher on rating homosexual sexuality than it is on heterosexual sexuality.
Oh, really?
So, it seems like a movie where a man kisses a man is much more likely to get a hard rating than a movie where a man kisses a woman.
Hmm.
Yeah, fancy that.
Oh, maybe these
See, the I don't know how many of you know how these ratings are come about, but basically the MPAA appoints a bunch of people to do it, and they're anonymous.
Hmm.
And they watch the movie, and they assign a rating based on what the average American family would think.
Oh, great.
At least that's their directive. Mm-hmm. But it's anonymous, and there are really no repercussions, and they can do things however they want.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly it's anonymous to keep them from being bribed, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think they get bribed a little bit.
I don't really know what to say. The MPAA is bad. They're
very
bad on every front, and I'd rather dislike them.
Mm-hmm. Be interesting to see, like, if we could get a whole pile of movies from, like, different studios, independent and, you know, such, and compare, like, movies with similar content versus the rating they got and the years, you know, and see how things changed over time, we could, you know.
Actually, it's gotten a lot more lenient over time.
Yeah, that's good.
Except with regards to homosexuality.
Mm-hmm.
Boys kissing!
Well, I can tell you one thing. In Japan, they don't give two craps.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, they seem a lot smarter than a lot of people here.
And in other ways, a lot more nutty.
Yeah, that's fine, though.
Yeah.
Things of the day. We don't have music yet.
Lazy bums.
Yeah. Just haven't gotten around to it.
All right, so my thing of the day. Well, you may recall Rim, who had a great story that he seems to go crazy about and keeps referring to often, is that most women never had the big O.
Well, most American women.
American women. So someone made a piece of software called Lapis.
It's a little rabbit.
Lapis. And it doesn't actually run on the Nintendo DS. It runs on the computer. But it, you know, has a little picture of a Nintendo DS because it has the same features of, you know, touch screen and microphone and all that. And it's kind of like Nintendogs, except you have this cute little blue rabbit. And you play with this cute little blue rabbit in various ways, rubbing him with the stylus and blowing on the microphone and scratching and tickling and all that good stuff. And the little rabbit is supposedly stimulated in the same way that a clitoris is. So if you want to learn how to stimulate women, you just stimulate the bunny until it flies around and...
Yeah, that's apparently the analogy to orgasm in the game. The bunny starts flying.
Yep, and then you've got it, supposedly.
Fantastic.
So if you think your woman is faking the big O, you can play the Lapis. If you're a woman and you don't know if you've ever had one, you can practice on the Lapis and then go and do it to yourself later. I'd like to hear someone who, like, you know, tried it and determined if it was accurate or something. That would be cool.
Huh? We'll see.
Yeah. I think I might just play this game just to have fun with the game.
Yeah, just to have fun.
And then look at some prawn.
Oh, prawn.
Prawn.
Yeah, my thing of the day is not nearly so cool, but I found it very cool until I heard about this thing.
Mm.
But apparently recently, very recently, there was a semi-major archaeological discovery in, of all places, Battery Park in New York City. For those of you who don't live out here, Battery Park is the park at the bottom of Manhattan where, you know, Statue of Liberty and all that stuff is.
They were digging in Battery Park?
Oh, yeah, the subway lines go under there.
Oh, all right.
And they're extending a subway line. They're doing some subway work. And they discovered, buried along the shore, a gun emplacement from before the Revolutionary War.
A gun emplacement?
A gun emplacement.
Wow.
It was just buried.
Does it have guns in it still?
It has gun paraphernalia in it and, like, the foundations for the gun.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And they were absolutely amazed that it sat there undisturbed for so many freaking years.
Well, it's made of rock, and it's underground where no one's touching it.
Yeah. So the subway workers and the city and MTA have actually agreed to work around it and leave it there so that people can come in and study it.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. That's all there is to that.
It's always nice to see, because people don't realize that New York City, like, if you were here, 300 years ago, when New York City was actually just, like, an island, well, Manhattan was just an island with nothing on it, except maybe, like, some buildings, but it was actually the original dirt and trees and such. The city we have now is, like, three or four levels of city above that.
Oh, really?
It's like, you know, over time they built stuff, then they built stuff, and they built stuff, and they built stuff. It's like way up now.
Well, there's lots of cool abandoned stuff. There's abandoned subway stations and subway lines and old, like, basements, steam tunnels. Yep.
But if you look at, say, the first floor of an office building now, that is, like, at the level that a roof of a house would have been in, like, the 1700s or 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the shit they've piled on over time. At least that's what I hear.
Uh-huh.
But, of course, you can see right here, the gun emplacement, which would normally be, you know, on land, is underground. So you see how that works out.
I just thought it was very cool, and I'm glad that they're at least taking the time to study it.
Yep.
Instead of just, you know, running the 6 line or whatever subway is over there through it.
Hey. There's not, you know, too much stuff left in New York City to study, so.
What about the crazy homeless guys walking around yelling?
Those are crazy homeless guys.
You can study them. See what they say.
Hey!
Alright, so basically, for our main bit, we were tired. We didn't have much to talk about today. So we figured we'd regale you with stories from our freshman year at RIT.
It's a geek fable.
Except there's no moral to this one other than have fun in college.
Well, I'm going
to
make up a moral.
All right. We'll see if you come up with one or not.
All right.
I mean, we're already told about how we all met.
Yep.
And, you know, some stories about Arwag, the gaming club, and our Dungeon Master, Dwayne. We don't need to get into that.
Nope.
But our life as freshmen in college was pretty fantastic. RIT... The dorms are connected to each other by a whole bunch of tunnels.
Yeah, of course, I lived in Peterson, and our tunnels weren't connected to the other tunnels until, like, a few quarters in.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I was in the good dorms, so I could spend an entire weekend without even setting one foot outside in the winter.
You were in the dorm that was all guys and vomitatious. I was in the co-ed dorm with no alcohol and no drugs.
Yeah, but your dorm was unrenovated and wasn't connected to the tunnels.
Which means
we were connected
to. Which means my rooms were bigger.
Plus, despite all the vomitatiousness of my dorm, no one ever vomited on me.
You vomited on you.
Yeah. See, it's funny. Whenever I get the flu or anything, I just, like, I vomit. Like, that's my primary mode of fighting illness. And one time when I was a freshman, I got real sick. And in RIT, we have bunk beds. Now, it's kind of a sick story. Not, I guess, we've probably told worse things. But I'm laying there in bed, and I'm sick, and I wake up in the middle of the night, and then I vomit.
Bargle.
Shit. So I get out of bed, and my roommate, who I never talked to, I don't even know this kid's name anymore. I never talked to him.
Yeah, I never knew his name.
He was quiet. He wasn't interested in anything I was interested in, so we just never talked, and we left each other alone.
He was sitting in the chair, wear headphones guy.
Yeah. I'm pretty certain that he awakened and decided to pretend he was asleep to avoid having to deal with what I had just done.
That is what I would do also, being a
basically,
good
roommate. The story ends with me putting all my dirty sheets in a hamper, not having any more clean sheets, taking a shower, and then feebly crawling into my, like, bare mattress, covering myself with my last dry towel and trying to sleep.
That is hilarious.
I really don't miss living in dorms. Now, if I get sick, I have my own bedroom. I have my own bathroom, and I can just call in sick to work.
I'm glad I don't vomit, and my streak is very, very long of not vomiting.
I'll get some Ipecac and fix
but
that.
But I do diarrhea. If I got a problem in the stomach, bleh, diarrhea.
As I am well aware.
Yep. But see, I'd rather diarrhea than vomit.
I'm a hair trigger vomiter, but only when I'm sick.
See, the diarrhea doesn't really bother me. What bothers me is like the pain in the stomach. If I don't have like a bunch of gas like swelling up and hurting, then it's all good with diarrhea.
So anyway, to get off of this tangent that you probably don't want to hear much about.
Bowels!
Living in the dorms is like freaking fantastic. Bowel. Aside from that.
Yep, basically because, well, you've got nothing to do. You don't have to go outside.
We're a whole bunch of geeks.
We basically would spend entire weekends in Peterson,
dorm he was in.
Yep.
Because this dorm had a lounge, and this was the most fantastic lounge ever, at least in terms of RIT.
In RIT now, most of the lounges are freaking dorms.
Yeah, we'll get into that another time.
Mm.
But this lounge had this hump, like this thing in it, and it was covered in the carpet. And basically, that was the Dungeon Master throne. Whenever we played D&D, Alex, our Dungeon Master, would sit up there.
It was perfect.
Yeah, you really had to have been there.
Mm.
A lot of weekends, we would just sit there and watch an entire anime, like Escaflowne or Cowboy Bebop, just all in one go. We actually met a lot of our friends that way. We had our friend Laura, who actually, she writes for Gamers with Jobs now. But we met her because we were watching Tenku no Escaflowne in marathon form. And she walked by with some friends and saw it and decided to sit there with us and watch the rest of it for the rest of the entire weekend.
See, now, if I turned on a marathon of, I don't know, Trigun, no one walks by here. No one would stop by our house and decide to be our friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They wouldn't see us crying because we all cried when we watched Trigun.
Yep.
We were all standing in Scott's room, actually. In the unrenovated Peterson dorm, all of us were standing around, like eight people, and we're watching a certain episode where a certain person has something bad happen to them, as I avoid a spoiler. And we're all crying and trying to hide the fact that we're crying from everyone else.
That was a weird time when we were watching that, because wasn't it in my dorm room?
Yeah.
And, like, I was sitting there, and people were sitting on the floor, and then people started showing up randomly.
And everyone was just standing there, kind of crying.
Yeah, it was real weird. I think my roommate was actually in the room. I don't remember.
I remember him giving us a look of like, what the fuck?
Yeah, he was a soccer guy. That's all I remember about him is he was a soccer guy. He liked to play soccer. And see, I think he transferred out because he didn't get on the RIT soccer team.
Oh, see, it's weird. It seems like a lot of people who went to school, they immediately, at RIT at least, they immediately become friends with their roommate, and then they become friends with whatever like frat they join or whatever. We were, other than one special exception, didn't even really know the names of our roommates, and we just found friends and hung out with them.
Yep. I mean, I remember, like, you know, I saw you guys at RWAG, you know, we talked there, but then I guess we all went to Anime Club a few times without seeing each other or noticing.
Yeah.
But, like, I remember once I saw you in Gracie's, and it just came up, and I was like, oh, those are those guys.
And I remember thinking, hey, it's that guy who was super Jew.
Yeah, and I went up, and I said, hey.
And I was like, hey.
And then I walked away because I didn't have anything to say because they were just some guys.
Yeah.
And that was, you know.
It's weird to think. I mean, our whole group, the front row crew, and there's a lot of us. We're like family. And it's amazing to think that it wasn't that long ago that we didn't even know each other.
Yep.
Everyone in the group was just that guy we met. Like Greg, who we used to be really good friends with, was just that cool fuzzy-haired guy who like came around every now and then.
Yeah, he didn't... I didn't even know he lived in the same floor as me until a while. Just, I would recognize, you know, his face. And it, like, there's a lot of people, I don't know their name, but, like, I see them and I go, I know you because I see your face and I recognize it. And then, you know. And Greg was one of those guys for, like, weeks and weeks and weeks.
Yeah. I remember we talked a lot about Counter-Strike and funny otaku military stuff. I remember Katsu is a kendo guy. He's another member of the crew.
I actually met Katsu before I met anyone else.
Wow.
Like, I went into Arweg, and I went, and I was carrying my Battletech box, and Katsu was standing there with his funny umbrella. And we said something about Battletech. And then Dwayne, which you already discussed.
Ah, Dwayne.
And then I saw you other fools, but yeah, I saw Katsu before I saw anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Kind of weird.
I remember one of the first people I actually met that I was doing anything with, I was helping Duck Boy. We won't get into why he's called Duck Boy.
Quack, quack.
If he's listening, he probably doesn't even know that we called him Duck Boy.
Oh, I am the duck from the land of France.
I don't know. Actually, I really don't know why we called him Duck Boy.
You will cook me in the French manner.
Why did we call him Duck Boy?
And you will win the Iron Chef. I think someone else said he looked like a duck or something.
I don't know. I don't know. But I was helping him make a third edition Dungeons & Dragons character.
He was a winner.
Yeah, winner was him.
As in loser.
We had infinite free time. None of us had jobs. I held a job for about 2 weeks and then I quit.
I worked at Crossroads freshman year.
Yeah, I remember that.
It wasn't a bad gig.
I remember when Crossroads opened. It was this cafe that they decided to make on the other side of campus that we rarely ventured to.
Yeah, you didn't really need to go over there if you were a freshman because it was as far away from the dorms as possible. And it was like the farthest away academic building, which you didn't really go to unless you had, you know, crazy, crazy classes out there.
Yep.
And freshman year, you don't really have crazy classes, so they're mostly in the close buildings.
Freshman year, classes are pretty much nothing. It was pretty much a non-effort, pass every class without even thinking.
Yeah, that's, freaking freshman year, my first quarter, I got like a freaking 4, I think, or something crazy, like some crazy-ass high GPA.
Yeah, we didn't do homework. Every day at around 6 o'clock, we'd all congregate at Gracie's, the giant campus freshman cafeteria, a.k.a. pig trough.
Yep. And we started out, like, I remember going to Gracie's in the early days. I'd be alone, and I didn't know there was takeout, so I'd sit there alone.
Yeah.
And then it was, like, 2 people, and then, like, 4 people.
Eventually, we'd take up, like, an entire long table full of people.
And then an entire long table and a half.
Yep.
And then when we found out that people sucked, we kicked them out of the table, and we were back down to, like, you know, a half a table.
God,
a
there was one
more.
Guy I remember, he was really big into hentai.
And we're
not so much fans of hentai.
No, we're definitely the anti-hentai fan.
Now, I don't mind if you like hentai, but I don't want you to tell me about it graphically, constantly.
Yeah.
Especially if I didn't bring it up.
And I mean, like, don't get your hentai on me.
Yeah, just keep it to yourself. Get it on people who want to get it on them.
I mean, like, I don't even mind being friends with someone who's, like, wacky religious or anything.
Wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube man.
Just don't get your religion on me.
But
if
this guy,
keep it to yourself. No,
luckily,
one's gonna pester you.
Luckily, hentai guy was real distinctive, real ugly.
God, so, it's just painful. Even today, I think he's actually lost weight, but you see him at conventions now and then. I'll point him out to you if you ever find me. But you just look at them and you go, "Damn, that's an ugly guy." Oh, I don't want to look at him anymore.
But I remember,
oh God,
our huge group would congregate in Gracie's, and we'd be looking around to try to spot him and try to head it off and sit where he wouldn't see us.
Which is hard to do
when you're a group of, like, 11 people.
It worked a couple times.
Yeah.
And we were often able to escape him. Like, he'd show up and we'd leave. And he couldn't leave because he had a plate full of food.
Yep. Plus, we had a nice filter of only one of us had a car. So if we wanted to go anywhere, or if we wanted to drop
a bunch of people, we'd just say, "Oh, we're driving somewhere," and we'd pick the people we wanted to keep, get in the car, drive a bit, come around back.
Yep.
We didn't ever actually do that, but we'd like go to a diner with the people we wanted to keep, and then
we'd come back and then return. Actually, a couple of times, though, Ken's car was great for that. But a couple of times, we would honestly just say, like, "All right, we're all going to bed. Let's go home." And we'd all, like, go our separate ways and then reconvene an hour later somewhere else.
I think we only did that a few times.
Yeah, but those were critical times.
Yep. Usually what would happen is we would, you know, we'd be somewhere like Anime Club or Gracie's or something. And then we'd walk back to the dorms and then we'd stop outside the dorm and talk for, like, an hour.
Yep.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I still think back to that. I mean, it'd be freezing cold. We'd be standing outside.
It wasn't freezing cold yet.
Yeah, but even when it was cold, we still did it. We'd stand in, like, a lobby.
No, lobbies, yeah. Yep.
But there was there's the thing. We called it the thing. It was basically this big concrete thing that you could sit on or stand on. I guess it was a sculpture.
Imagine if it's like a pyramid, but it's got, you know, the whole thing is a stair, but the stairs are, like, 2 feet high. I don't know if that's a very good description or not.
I don't think it really matters.
Okay. It looks like a Devo hat.
Yeah, it does.
It's a Devo hat. A giant concrete Devo hat.
And it was weird. It got to the point where we became those guys. The guys who were always hanging out at, like, this place.
Yep. We were the cool guys.
We're those cool guys. We're always just standing there. And people would walk by like, I want to stand on the thing, but I can't. Those guys are always there.
We're too cool for you.
If other people were there, we'd walk over and we'd just kind of muscle our way in, you know, with our geekly muscles.
No, we didn't.
Well, by muscle our way in, we just kind of stand around there, and eventually the non-geeks would get uncomfortable and leave.
Oh, suck.
Or they'd be geeks, and it'd be awesome.
Yep, that's how you add people.
It helped that RIT is a real geeky school.
Mm. If you're a nerd or a geek, and you're looking for a school, even though RIT has its problems, just like every other school, there's no place geekier you can go.
Goddamn,
are
they geeks.
You'll be freaking happy there, let me tell you.
One of our favorite pastimes was we'd wander around looking for places to continue to hang out. So we'd be hanging out somewhere, and then we'd get restless, but we didn't have anything to do. We had no money.
Yep.
So we'd start wandering around campus until we found, like, another room to hang out in.
Oh, the tunnels were full of rooms.
Yeah, the tunnels had a lot of old abandoned infrastructure. Like, there used to be a dance club down there that they shut down. Then there was just a big empty room that was locked.
There used to be an arcade that wasn't there anymore, but you could still see the painting on the wall that said, arcade here.
Yep.
And there were still, like, pieces of paper, like, arcade hours. But there was no arcade. It was just
a room
we looked
that
was torn apart.
We busted into conference rooms just to play Battletech.
Oh, Battletech. You've eaten so many hours. I wish to play you again.
Oh, Battletech is fantastic.
Oh, my God. If you haven't played Battletech, we should do a podcast on Battletech.
Yeah, we should. Yep. But we just freaking wander around. We got caught by campus safety once because we were wandering around late at night in the science building.
Yeah.
And this campus safety guy comes over. He's like, what the hell are you guys doing?
Well, the door was open, and we just wanted to walk through because it was kind of cold outside.
Yep.
And this campus safety guy comes in, and he's like, what are you doing in the building? And we're like, well, the door was open, so we walked through the building to, you know, go in that door and come out the door on the other side so we'd be warm at least for that distance of the walk. And he's like, you know, the building's closed. You can't be in here. And we're like, oh, but the door was open.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Even though they often forget to lock doors, and actually there were a lot of, like, basically there were secret ways in. I don't know if they still work. But there was basically secret ways to get into any building on campus, locked or not, because of those tunnels.
Yep. But nowadays, they lock the buildings much better, so
yeah.
You're not going to get in quite as easily.
It's actually sad how the campus changed. When we were freshmen, the dorms were open until 11, all the time. Until 11, the doors were just unlocked. You could do whatever you want
to
go.
Yeah, they gave me a key to open, like, the doors of the whole dorms. I never used that key, ever.
Yeah. Unless we left late at night and you had to get back in somehow.
Even so, even late at night, that door was always open.
Yeah, because you walk into Gracie's and yeah.
No, I would just walk into my dorm.
My dorm is usually locked, but I could get in through the tunnels.
Nowadays, I think they have like locks in the dorms and then on the elevators. And
yeah, nowadays in RIT, if you're in a freshman in the dorms, you got to put your key in the elevator to use the freaking elevator.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm. And we also had our, we didn't do this that often, but when we did, it was most enjoyable. Our Zeppelin days,
where
if it was sunny out, because there are less sunny days in Rochester than there are in Seattle.
There are less sunny days in Rochester than there are women at RIT.
So our Zeppelin days, when it was warm enough out, we'd lay on the quarter mile, which is like this path between the dorms and the academic side.
Well, shirtless. It actually went through the academic side, so...
Yeah, well, it connected them, and then it continued through the academic side.
And that
side.
Was the extra quarter of mile.
So we'd lay there with a boombox playing Zeppelin, shirtless, just kind of sunbathing or tossing a ball around. We were really the only ones who did something like that, and a lot of people gave us weird looks, but no one ever really said anything to
us. Yeah, you had... If you wanted to be out on the quarter mile, you had to have a Frisbee or something. You know, you couldn't just... lay out there with music. People would be like, what the hell? You're not working. You're not. What are you doing?
Yeah.
What's going on?
I remember we'd see all those people like furiously studying and we'd just kind of laugh at them.
I never understood that. I mean, look, I graduated. I didn't furiously study ever. What were they doing? What were they doing?
What are you doing? What are you doing?
How you doing? Freshman year was good.
Yeah. I guess the moral here is don't squander your freshman year of college. That's the most fun for the least responsibility you're ever going to have.
I think the moral is be one of the people who has diarrhea and not vomit when you get sick. Because vomiting really sucks.
All right. So we'll tell some more stories another time. That was a very tiny slice of our life at RIT.
Mm-hmm.
But to move into some meta bits, this podcast was kind of blah because Scott's all tired and he won't really talk.
Hey, I just, what do you want from me?
Don't be so tired.
Okay, so you better, yeah.
Yeah, what? What are you going to say? You're too tired to even argue.
I pass blame onto you with some words.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got a little meta bit. The first meta bit is that we're looking for audio feedback. Other podcasts have audio feedback where people call in or send, MP3s of themselves saying something. So, as opposed to sending us an email with feedback, you record yourself saying the feedback and send it to us.
Now, how does this sound? I have a specific kind of feedback. Not really feedback, but a specific thing if you guys are going to take advantage of this that we'd like you to do. We were thinking about doing a show about the podcast or about us, like specifically why we do this, who we are, whatever. We decided, or at least I decided just now, instead of interviewing each other or just
what a democratic system.
How about this? You guys interview us. Send us audio questions, and we'll set it up to where you, the listeners, interview us one day. Once we have enough questions, do a whole show.
That could be pretty cool. Now, there's two ways. Number one, you just record yourself, make an MP3 or a WAV file or something, and email it as an attachment, or put it on the web and email a link to that location.
Any kind of technology way.
Yeah, to geeknights@gmail.com, and in the subject, put audio feedback. The other way you can leave us audio feedback is we have a voicemail box. And the way this works is you call this phone number and you leave a voicemail and we will get an email with your voicemail as an attachment and we can use that. The phone number you can call is 206-333-1537. That's 206-333-1537.
Outstanding.
I'm going to go use that little program on the internet that tells me what words I can make with those numbers.
But yeah, so interview us. Ask us whatever you want. No question is out of bounds, though you may not get a serious answer.
Yeah, and if we don't like your question, we are in no way obligated to actually use it.
Yeah, or we might just make fun of you.
Like if you just call in and go, blaga, 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 blaga.
Oh, we'll probably play it, but...
Identify yourself. I don't, if
in some way, like, hi, my name is blah, or hi, I'm Fred.
Yeah, and don't make it too long, because...
Yeah, verbosity is not what we're after here.
Yep. But if your verbosity is high quality, you'll
still
make it.
Yeah, if you're Tycho from Penny Arcade, yeah.
Go for it.
But to quote some words of wisdom, people who don't understand analogies shouldn't make them, and people who don't understand big words should not use them.
Mm. All right. In addition, I hate asking for votes because they have their web pages where you vote for things and then they go up in the list. But everyone else asks for votes. So if you go to podcastalley.com and vote for us, then that means our link will appear higher up and people will see it. And that's a good way that you can get more people to listen to us, even if you don't have any other people to tell.
Of course, only do this if you actually think we deserve it.
Yeah,
if
you think we suck, don't freaking vote for us. God. Of course, an even better way is to just tell your friends.
Yeah.
Or spread the word on other forums.
Actually, I'm very
happy.
Listenership has been rising steadily from the moment we started at a very steady and predictable rate, which is kind of scary and kind of cool at the same time.
Yep. Also, our forums are quite hopping.
Yeah, they're hopping madly, and they're very much keeping me busy at work when I'm bored.
Yeah. There aren't a crap ton of people there, but there's quite a few people, and they're posting a lot. So if you're not in the forums, you need to go there.
Yeah.
Just go to frontrowcrew.com and click on forum and then sign up and I'll approve you and post away.
Oh, and also one more bit we're looking for. I need some tips on how to make Scott fucking be awake during the podcast.
Yeah, if you can find out a way to, you know...
Or just give me a way to drug him with caffeine, because he refuses to take any form of caffeine into his body, even though that would solve all of his problems.
Not going to drink caffeine.
Why not?
Or eat it.
Caffeine's fine.
Not a chance.
There have been two studies recently that show caffeine is good for you.
And there have been many studies before that show it's bad.
It's only bad if you use it in lieu of sleep.
Nah, you know what's good? No chemicals.
All right. Even though you eat enemas.
I eat what?
Those donuts you buy in a box.
What's wrong with the donuts?
You realize they're just edible oils full of preservatives and chemicals.
It's an edible oil. Edible being the key word.
I don't
there.
Want to go to Toronto. I don't want to go.
Yeah, well, you're going to go, whether you like it or not.
All right, we've rambled into randomness at this point. So with that... And that was Geek Nights with Rim and Scott. Special thanks to DJ Pretzel for the opening music.
Thanks for listening. Please remember to point your favorite podcatcher at feeds.feedburner.com/geeknights to get the latest episodes as soon as they're released. Also, please visit our website at www.frontrowcrew.com for the latest updates and forum discussions. And whether you love or hate our podcast, we won't know unless you send your feedback to us at geeknights@gmail.com.